Welcome back to Bad Movies Rule, the podcast that gives some love to movies that the Academy and the critics don't. But today, we might have the most difficult task ahead of us yet in our first 11 episodes. We're talking about The Garbage Pail Kids. Let's go.
I think they may have actually just meant to call this The Pale Kids, and then somebody's like, man, this is garbage.
This, anytime you there's the word movie in the title,
right,
you know it's going to be bad. I mean,
Scary Movie was pretty
maybe not
good.
That's not an exclusively true thing. But
I was going to say Transformers, the movie, when I was a kid.
I know, that's exactly the one I was thinking of.
G.I. Joe, the movie.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Anytime you've got to put the movie in the title...
Power Rangers, the movie.
Yeah, that's not a good example.
Power Rangers. You didn't like Power Rangers?
You're all talking about properties where they were like cartoons, and so they had to differentiate, right? Like,
correct.
So that kids understood. This is not the case here,
no.
Right? Because all there was trading cards of the Garbage Pail Kids.
Correct.
Right?
I didn't know they were real people. That was a surprise to me. I thought it's like baseball cards. Like, these were actual people in the world. They needed more stats on the back, I think.
You're right. So where were the rest of them?
Well, garbage trucks crushed.
Oh, all right. Yeah, we'll get to all that. Let's introduce our panel here today. We have Kurt Mummer with us. Kurt is here. He's got his binder full of, I'm assuming these are Garbage Pail Kids.
Yes, he brought them.
That's incredible, Kurt.
Thank you.
Dude, how many do you have? There's so many pages in that book.
I have a lot. Basically ranging from 83 all the way to 86.
Wow.
So, and then actually there are some newer ones that came out I really enjoyed.
They still make them?
Yeah, they make them about every year.
Really?
Yeah, they'll come out with a new series. So I actually have He-Man, the Masters of the Universe.
Oh my gosh, look at this.
So there's Ninja Turtles down there at the bottom.
Oh yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, anyway.
Disordered Donatello, is that what that says?
Yeah, Disordered Donatello, and then they have He-Manny.
He-Manny.
And then, of course, I'm going to go ahead and just throw this out there right now. This is the original one that I always enjoyed.
Hurt Kurt. And it's just this Garbage Pail Kid just eating pavement off of a skateboard.
Yes, sir.
Show that one to the camera, just in case nobody's ever seen a Garbage Pail Kid card.
And the camera that Clint is referencing is TikTok. So if you guys are listening to this, it's probably too late. But in future episodes, if you follow us on TikTok, you can join us live in the studio while we record. So as you heard, Clint Bush is also with us. Welcome, Clint. Did you collect Garbage Pail Kids?
I had many. My brother obviously lived in the same house, and right next door was a couple of cousins of mine. And we actually kind of traded back and forth as we went. And I think one of the best parts is I don't think my brother and older cousin knew that there was doubles, like on some of them. Like, there was the same picture, but multiple names and stuff. And I was collecting those. And I remember when they found out that I was trading them off for the oddball doubles all those years. It was good times.
Nice. I enjoyed the cards. I think I maybe had, a handful, right? You buy a pack or two.
Yeah. Sure.
And they end up scattered around. I didn't take care of them like you have, so they were lost almost immediately, probably, to, my mom.
Used them as stickers?
Right, pretty much. How about you, Bob? Now, you're 9 years younger than everybody, just so that people listening at home know.
That's why he's pretty still.
I'm not sure. That's true, but I'm also... not sure. Did you miss the Garbage Pail Kids craze by the time you were old enough to know what it was?
I think I did. I didn't collect or get into the Garbage Pail Kids.
So this is an 80s kid kind of a thing.
Yeah, it definitely died off in like 88. I think that's when it was donezo.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So what was it run? You said it was 83?
83 was, as far as I'm concerned, the start of it, because that's when the parody started of Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh, okay.
Cabbage Patch Kids came out in 83. And then I believe 84 Garbage Pail Kids came out. But it was a straight replica of, not replica, but a parody.
It was a spoof.
Yeah, a spoof of the Cabbage Patch Kids. I feel like Cabbage Patch Kids were definitely aimed more towards girls. Mm-hmm. And this almost gave a way for boys to be like, hey, we got something too. This is pretty awesome.
I actually remember when my cousin Jessica adopted her first Cabbage Patch Kid, and it was a big deal. And yeah, at the same time, we ended up getting the making fun of her right out of the way.
But who really won between the two? Because did the Cabbage Patch Kids get a movie?
No, I don't think they did. I think they got a cartoon series. Yeah.
Did they have a cartoon?
They actually came out with a Garbage Pail Kids cartoon series as well, but the movie flopped so horribly that I think it was CBS.
This movie flopped?
Really?
It destroyed everything in its wake.
And CBS was like, we do not want to air this. So they were like, you know what? We're going to put on Muppet Babies instead. How about that?
In your defense, Kurt, about the movie flopping, it made more money than Cool as Ice.
How dare you?
You can, fall out of bed and make more money than Cool as Ice. That's not an accomplishment.
So you have that as a badge of honor for Cab.
I've got a few.
Which one would you watch again in your life, Bob?
Either one of them. I would load them up on the proverbial Speed 3 bus and let Dennis Hopper take the wheel and drive it into a building.
Okay. I don't think you're far off with your assessment. I knew that I was in trouble when I turned this movie on, and the first thing that pops up is a Topps chewing gum production.
Yes.
Oh, God.
You got a trading card company producing a movie. How can it not be incredible?
I can't remember the last Topps trading card production movie I've watched.
They don't even make their gum right. They're going to try and make a movie. They can't even figure out how to make a decent piece of gum that's not like made out of
brittle. It doesn't break.
Right. Or made out of like tire rubber.
Have you guys seen Mars Attacks?
Is that a Topps chewing gum production?
Kind of. So they came out with that card series before Garbage Pail Kids.
Okay. Mars Attacks was a card series?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, sir.
They did not start that movie with the cards. So how are we supposed to know that? The cards.
I love Mars Attacks.
It's true. Well, let's get the vitals of this movie out of the way. This movie was directed by Rod Amato. Rod Amato?
Amato?
I don't know. Anyway, it was a horrible job to get hired for, right? Could you imagine having to direct this movie?
I mean, if he lived in a garbage can, then this was a great job to get hired for.
He didn't. He'd had a long career. I mean, he goes all the way back to, there's a lot of TV, but all the way back to the 50s. I mean, he had done things in Hollywood for 30 years, and this ended his career. This was the last thing he did.
How did this movie get past the Hollywood goalie?
Well, they had pulled the goalie, so there was an open net. It was an open net, and poor Rod Amato got hired. I mean, imagine having to direct these things. Like, you just, like, having to run up to these, like, and trying to yell through the ear hole in their giant heads and go, be more creepy.
Yeah.
So were those,
I can't see where I'm going.
I think so were those little people or those kids inside those suits?
No, they were little people.
Oh, okay.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. That's really cool.
Actually, one of them went on to be Kramer's best friend in Seinfeld. I forget his name, the little guy that was hanging out with Kramer for a while. I can't remember the guy's name.
Did he play the greaser one?
Yes,
Greaser Craig?
Greaser Greg.
Greaser Greg. Yeah, so this was also written by Rod Amato and Linda Palmer. Linda Palmer.
Well, that's why he had to direct it. It was like, you wrote this. You direct. They couldn't get anybody else to do it.
I feel like he wrote it. I think Linda did the first draft. And I feel like he got a writing credit because as they were on the set, they were like, this doesn't make any sense. And so what we ended up with, which still doesn't really make any sense, was I think Rod trying to make something kind of cohesive. Yeah, Linda had written two episodes of Family, which is a TV show no one remembers, Meredith Baxter Burney's show before she was on Family Ties. And then she did a 1998 TV movie called Legion of Fire, Killer Ants, about flesh-eating ants invading a town. And that's it.
I may want to see that.
I want to watch. That show sounds pretty good.
Episode 12.
We'll do Legion of Fire, Killer Ants.
Was this an Arnold Schwarzenegger film vehicle?
No, it was a TV movie. This movie starred Mackenzie Astin and Anthony Newley and Katie Barbary and Winnie the Pooh.
Yes, Winnie the Pooh.
Wait a minute. Winnie the Pooh was in this movie?
Jim Cummings is the voice of Greaser Greg. It was his first gig, and he is now the voice of Winnie the Pooh.
He's also Tigger, Darkwing Duck.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
He also, I believe, was Nat Nerd.
Yeah, he was.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's ashamed to ever talk about this movie.
And I'm not.
Yeah.
I think he should be proud that this was on his resume. Yeah.
Whenever you see him interviewed and anyone brings it up, he gets visibly uncomfortable.
Yes, absolutely, and I love it every time.
I mean, to give this movie some credit, I would watch this over Frozen.
Well, that's fair.
I will not agree to that.
You would watch Frozen?
Absolutely.
I think the music was better in this movie.
Yeah, but. I mean, I would watch it, In Cursed Defense.
The one song?
I would watch this movie over Frozen.
All right, but here's the question I want to ask. Why make a movie out of a trading card series?
Why not?
It's literally this thin. The cards are this thin. There's not enough depth.
I don't know if you guys know.
I'm still waiting for the live action Hot Wheels movie.
That would be sweet.
Directed by Michael Bay.
That's just Fast and Furious, man. We already have the Hot Wheels.
The new one's got magnets in it.
We're family.
You know what can't stop Hot Wheels? Wait, hold on. I messed up the joke. I was going to say.
Start over.
You know what can't stop Hot Wheels? Family. But that doesn't make any sense because they drive the Hot Wheels. Anyway, go ahead.
All I was going to say was, so if you know some of the history of the cards, so what ended up happening was at the time of, I want to say it was like 86, Cabbage Patch Kids went after Garbage Pail Kids for likeness. So what ended up happening was they had to basically reinvent the wheel. On their end, they were like, well, we need to make these popular again.
Right.
Let's bring out a movie and a cartoon series.
Sure.
And then we'll see if we can milk this, thing or not. Yeah, and then it ended up not doing well for any of it. Part of the reason why they made the movie was to kind of reinvent, kick off a new line of Garbage Pail Kids.
Right, but the point of the cards, I always felt like, was just an excuse for kids to look at gross things, right? Be like, oh, look at this guy's head's split.
Oh, absolutely. That's what made him popular.
Yeah, right.
This guy's shaving and his entire skin is coming off. You know,
yeah, right.
Crazy. Or, yeah, Bony like, Tony unzipping his holes and his skull's coming out.
It's almost like you're getting away with something.
Sure.
Right. You know, as a kid, by getting a pack of those and looking at them, right?
Yeah.
But is the depth there, like, and it's obvious because they struggled with it. How do you extrapolate a whole storyline out of just trading cards?
I don't think they extrapolated the storyline out of the trading cards.
Well, clearly they didn't. That's what I'm saying. Like, there is no story.
All they did was took characters and put them into a ridiculous situation. You know, there wasn't an actual story of lore from the cards by any stretch.
Right.
No. They had to write something based around what the cards look like.
Right.
Right.
And I think originally too, there might have been a horror movie, B-rated horror movie written around these, and then that kind of got scrapped because they're like, well, obviously this is for a kid movie. They should have
stuck with the horror movie thing because these things, the heads on these things, it's nightmare fuel.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
If I ran into a couple of these Garbage Pail Kids in a dark alley, I'd be terrified.
So you're okay with hanging out with Howard the Duck in a dark alley, but these things?
I'll see a cuddly 3-foot duck or the Garbage Pail Kids with these, their heads. There's some scenes in the movie where they're around regular people, like in the movie theater, and they're like literally cheek to cheek with regular people, and you realize that their heads are like five times the size of a human head. And that is really, I mean, it's like their heads look like they could be containers for other heads, and it's terrifying to me.
I really think that GPK should come back out with something now to where it is a...
Well, they've got all this traction now. I mean, they're on social media here.
Well, today. I'm just saying they should honestly come out with something to reinvent themselves and come out with this as a B-rated horror flick. I think it would do well.
If they could get heads that work this time?
Well, they'd probably be able to. I mean, with CGI and everything else that we could do.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, the upshot is the people who love Garbage Pail Kids as kids are now in their 40s and would enjoy a horror
movie. That's what I'm saying, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you're not looking for that 8-year-old kid who's just finding out about these to sit down and watch these horror movies.
Right.
I now know what my kids would look like if I was with my ex.
A peek into your potential past or alternate future, rather.
My alternate 1985.
But terrible. Speaking about having a terrible job, like we said before, I mean, getting hired to direct this movie, this guy was delivered these heads, right? And they were behind schedule. They had to start shooting. And he made the assumption that the heads would continue to be worked on and would improve over time, right? They didn't. They never did any more work on them.
They were breaking down while the movie was going on. And I think they only had like one head.
And the capabilities that he was promised were not functional.
No, absolutely.
And so not only do you have to make this terrible movie, but you're doing it with the most important thing, is the Garbage Pail Kids Garbage Pail Kids movie, and their heads don't work. You're doomed.
Yeah.
You're doomed. So, Rod Amato, I mean, there was no way he was going to do well.
Well, in their eyes, in some of the shots there, I mean, you can see some of the paint coming off the masks, and even just some of the eyes get wonky, where we're like one's shutting and the other one's not.
Or they're looking two different directions.
Yeah, exactly.
The mouths never fully close.
Well, she's just got blue eyes. One blue this way, the other one blue that way.
All right, let's dive into this, guys. So we're going to go through some of the beats of this movie. They started, as we mentioned, with the opening sequence where, we see it's a Topps trading card production, and they start by showing the cards of the Garbage Pail Kids, right? Just in case you don't know what they are. Characters
first and then the Garbage Pail Kids, yeah.
Right. In case you don't know what this is or who these are, it's almost like the Judge Dredd opening, right? Where they're like, hey, look.
It's a comic
book. This is a comic book. This is Judge Dredd. And hey, these are the Garbage Pail Kids. If you've never seen one, real quick, catch up. This is what they are.
All right, you're up to speed.
Absolutely.
what was with the floating spaceship in and out of frame?
Oh, my gosh, bro.
The garbage can?
Was that a garbage can?
That's a garbage can.
First of all.
It's actually a garbage pail.
Does that mean that they're aliens?
Yes, that's what I'm gathering from this whole entire thing. There's a whole race of Garbage Pail Kids.
So this is a perfect example of they just had to come up and make something up because the cards don't offer enough depth to know anything. So they just decided they're going to be aliens. And that is some MST3K level.
I said the exact same thing. I was like, that made me think of the floating ship on string.
Right. I was waiting for the stick to be attached to one end of it. And it was coming in.
Absolutely. You
know, it came out. It went into frame. It fell out of frame. It bounced back into frame from the complete opposite direction.
Right. Because of the guy's dog came by and hit the table that it was on. That's probably what happened while they were shooting. And they're like, we don't have money for more film. We're going to use it.
Just run with it.
Just run with it. And so we end up in this antique shop where the Garbage Pail Kids get around.
Did we start there?
Yeah, that's literally, it zooms into Earth straight into the antique shop. I was paying a lot
of attention.
You weren't.
Yes.
Clint has already said that he slept through part of this movie and might have missed a lot of it. So
No, I thought it started with the kid running through the park, but apparently that was just after this.
No, that was after this. So we go right into the, because remember, you don't see the kids.
Right, they show Camp Manzini, yeah.
You don't see the kids. Right, they're running. You see their feet. They're running around. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there are paintings that are alive in this place.
Yeah, what was up
place.
With that? Magic eyes moving.
Yeah, I know. And they never show it again. The rest of the
what
movie.
Was
it's
that
like
all
Harry.
About?
It's like Harry Potter up in this guy's.
Kurt, explain that. Why were the eyes moving on these paintings?
Well, he's a magician.
Yeah, like he's not a magician.
He's based off of he likes magic and he does spells and things like that. So an old.
He's more of a straight up sorcerer than a magician. Yeah. I feel like his magician's just delusion.
I thought it was an antique shop.
Well, it's his
antique magic.
Well, it's like
mystical,
his collectibles,
mystical treasures.
He's been on his travels,
right? It's like his mystical treasures and whatnot.
Yeah,
gotcha. So we get the kids running around, and then I think he gets them back in the garbage can, right? For now,
just
he
by
puts
hollering
a giant,
at him,
puts a giant
black man's helmet on top.
Yeah,
of the can.
But here's the jam that doesn't follow later. He just basically hollers into the room before he gets there. Ain't nobody gonna be running around out here,
right?
And then they go back in on their own,
right? And then the rest of the plot is contingent on the fact that for some reason they can't get them back in the garbage can.
Well,
right.
This time they don't want to. I got a feeling that was like.
A longer time frame that we didn't know about.
So I think what it was is he was basically trying to get them into the can, and they were kind of like scared, like, uh-oh, they didn't really know him yet. I got a feeling that throughout that point that we see and up to when Dodger knocks over the can, that they've been out multiple times through that time period used to him.
I also got the feeling, too, by looking at the side of the can there at the beginning when they're in there, that, they're going to break out through the side of the garbage can, and they never did anything else with that.
Yeah, so this is then, Clint, when we cut to the park, and this is where we meet Dodger, right, who's being chased by Juice.
This is the point I looked at this movie, and I saw every single live-action person, I'm better than all of these people. because I wouldn't be chasing a kid across the park to try and steal his money. And if I was, I'd have probably caught him. I would have been fast enough as the kid to not get caught by those guys. And I wouldn't be the girl standing there cheering on the guys robbing this little kid.
Well, why is a 27-year-old man and his friends chasing after a 12-year-old?
I never quite understood that. I never understood the age difference.
Why CPS wasn't called it?
Like, I was kind of thinking, like, okay, if you're 16 and you're 20, like, okay, that's 4 years.
He's 14.
But he says he's 14.
He's 14, right. But
he looks 12.
Like,
he looks younger than that.
So you're just kind of like, well, how old are these guys?
How old do they look?
Well, yeah, they absolutely look like they're, you know,
mid-20s for sure.
Mid-20s to, almost 30. And 30-somethings.
Who is the actor that plays Juice?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up, but I can't because my phone is most ticky-tacking
right now. He has the most punchable face ever.
He does.
I think that's why they wanted him.
I don't know if that's why they wanted
him. When he had the blowout, he had the fresh blowout, right? The hair.
Yeah.
The Giants, I don't know if I'm allowed to say blunt looking cigarette.
Oh yeah. No, he was and his friends with a mesh tank top. He had his buddy with that.
Well, I love that they're beating up some 14 to 16-year-olds for money.
I'm waiting for like Schwarzenegger to come in and end this movie.
Yeah.
And take out these guys.
Ron McLaughlin.
Okay, Ron McLaughlin with his fresh blowout. And Tangerine calls him Juicy. Juicy. So I had him down as Juicy in every other scene that I was writing this outline.
He's my kind of men, forever. Real psychos.
And
I mean, you gotta be if your nickname's Juice, you gotta be a psycho
or Tangerine.
I mean, and you definitely don't want to be chased by somebody named Juice.
Wait, and he beats this kid up in full view of 100 people in this park.
In the park,
and he finds the only pond in the entire dried out park and dumps him in it.
The last guy that snitched on Juice, you know,
he ended up in the roadside highway.
No, he got squeezed.
Oh,
I did like the guy's golden armband.
He had a gold. See, you were paying even more attention than I was.
Well, that's his hitman. Sorry.
Oh.
That's his right-hand man.
What was the golden arm? It was the golden armband.
Oh, the guy with
the black tank top.
The black tank top with the gold armband.
The one that's dating the, She-Hulk.
I actually said, it's like, why is this kid running away from some American Gladiators tryout contestant? I don't understand what's going on.
This is going to be
a laser.
Blaze.
Ice.
I love American Mystique. Gladiators.
Yeah.
Juice would never have made it on American Gladiators.
No, but maybe he wasn't getting chased by Juice. He was getting chased by the hitman and the girl.
I think Juice.
Turbo would have crushed
Turbo
his larynx with his foot.
I think Juice was killed in one of the Friday the 13th movies.
Really?
I think he had
Juice
to be.
Walked out between whatever that archway thing was or whatever. They were chasing him across the park. Then Juice walked out and stopped him.
Juice doesn't do any dirty work. Caught. He's the head guy. He's the head honcho.
Juice is definitely that guy in Friday the 13th. Gets killed right after he has sex with his girlfriend.
Or during.
Right. Well, that happens in that movie all the time, too. So after he gets beat up, then we go back to the antique shop. And we meet Captain Manzini officially, right?
Yeah.
And we see that he's a bit of a sorcerer because he's able to do some things that I would say is beyond just being a magician.
Starting the washing machine.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would qualify.
Yeah,
it's some kind of black,
some sort of voodoo
black house magic going on. And then we meet Tangerine. Tangerine comes by, and how old do you think Tangerine is?
Well, I think she's younger than Juice, but obviously older than Dodger. So yeah. I feel like, we'll put her again, like
18, 19.
No way. She looks like she's 24 at least.
Okay, yeah. 24. We'll go 24.
She's also.
I mean, you can't really tell in the 80s with that giant hair perm and the.
She's also 3 feet taller than Dodger.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I mean, she leans over him, right? Like Andre the Giant at one point, and the top of his head is up to her chest.
Well, I think they were dating during filming in real life.
Yeah, so, which is even weirder.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Dodger and Tangerine were dating in real life. The actors. Yeah.
How old were they?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. There's got to be a.
Why was Child Protective Services not called?
I can tell you right now because I already looked it up. She was 15 years old when she made this movie.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. And she looked like she was 24.
Yeah. They're unreal.
And
they
picked
her up.
And he was actually 14.
Okay, so it doesn't sound too bad. All right.
So it's not too bad. But I re-looked it up 4 more times because as I'm watching the movie, I'm like,
this can't be.
There's no way.
Maybe it wasn't, and just to keep her out of jail, they like, we're gonna flub all this information.
So she's got a fake age for the rest of her life on the internet.
That's what I would do.
Nothing against tall women, but
no.
Well, I think the height exasperates it, right? Like this whole idea of it being a big age difference.
Plus, you figure too the fact that she's, you know, the girlfriend of this Juice character, who obviously looks substantially older. You just kind of assume they're going to go that direction.
So okay, so what we just learned is Juice is a statutory rapist,
right?
Right? Okay, uh-huh. A pedophile
driving around a gold van.
Yeah, what was she doing driving? If she was 15, she drove the car.
Well, this is why none of it makes sense.
They made her older. That's why I'm saying in the movie, I think she's younger than
she's younger than she played.
Older than Dodger.
Yeah. And so Dodger tries to get her to stay in the antique shop and is like, "Hey, come look at this junk. You don't like this junk? Come look at this other junk.
You want some buttons? You want some medals?
I'll give you this junk for free."
And then he leans over and sniffs her hair once.
Yeah, that's not creepy.
I'm like, bro, if you think you're going to smell anything.
That's a solid first move right there.
You think you're going to smell anything other than Aquanet, dude. I mean,
Purple can Aquanet extra hold.
I mean, some of the outfits she was wearing, she straight up looks like she's out of Gem and the Holograms.
Right. It was truly outrageous.
Truly outrageous.
I was waiting for the Wingers song, "She's Only 17," to start playing during the scene.
Two more years.
Yeah, she's not, though. That's the thing. She's only 27. That's what should have been the song that came out. So we get an antique shop fight scene almost immediately.
Oh, yeah, with the skateboard and a basketball.
This is one of the worst fight scenes I've ever seen in my life.
Juice ain't reaching over that counter.
No, he's not. The music is terrible.
Did Juice get hit once in this?
No.
He didn't get touched. Juice doesn't do the work.
Juice doesn't do anything. He snaps his fingers and Meatball does it.
Yeah,
that's Meatball. How it works.
Who's the blonde woman?
Oh, I don't know.
Turbo. Let's call her Turbo.
She looks more like an American Gladiator.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Somebody should have P-tested her. I think she was on steroids. I guess in the movies it's not illegal, but yeah, I mean, at one point in this fight scene, so he like shoots the skateboard at him and Meatball's just like, "Woo!"
Yeah,
just falls.
He slams a basketball at him like, "Oh!" Right.
He pulls up this basketball and he's like twirling it in his face, and like, Meatball's so confused. "Whoa, wait, what's this? What are you going to do with that?
Unbelievable. You got some mad skills, bro."
Mesmerized by the basketball before it gets thrown. It's just really, really, really stupid. The line of dialogue, this is the level of acting that Juice is bringing to this movie, right? This is what he says. And this is, I'm going to do my best to deliver it the same way he did, okay?
Go for it.
"This little creep has to be taught a lesson. It's a matter of principle."
That was pretty accurate.
That's pretty good.
That's very good.
And that kid was a creep. I initially I was like, "Hey, what's up, creep?"
I mean, that's grounds for butt woman.
But then he goes and sniffs the hair and everything. This kid is a creep.
Yeah, that's grounds for butt woman, sniffing another man's wife's hair, well, or girlfriend's hair.
But additionally, they're bending over, looking in the window, and he's like, "Ooh." He goes over to look out the window. And he's like, "Oh."
You guys don't remember what it was like being 14? Come on.
Well, 14 without the internet. Yeah, it was a different day back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they...
Kurt remembers when I was 14.
They release the kids, right? So in the struggle...
I do. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I lived with Bob when he was 14. I know all about it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the struggle, they release the Garbage Pail Kids. They knock the garbage can, which has now been placed up on a shelf.
Yeah, and the giant submarine helmet.
Yep, and it opens up, but the kids don't come out. Just the green ooze comes out.
It's like an elephant snot, or whatever is that... Turbo says.
And then this is what I'm saying. This is the escalation that Juice goes through in this movie, like way beyond normal bullying. He's like, "We're gonna rough this kid up, take his lunch money. No, we're gonna bring him into the sewer."
Yeah.
Right.
"And we're gonna dump poo water on him."
Yeah. Which just as a plumber standpoint, that isn't real.
There's no label pipes that say hot tub this way.
No.
Shower this way.
Not to mention
that way.
Sewer this way. Yeah. The bat cave this way.
First of all, how does Juice know how the sewer works?
Apparently, he's done this before.
That's what I'm saying. This is his go-to move, apparently.
I mean, when you're 27, there's a lot of 14-year-old kids you're beating up. You know what I'm saying?
In the background.
It's a lot of lunch money. Down here.
What if they had gotten down there? There'd been some other 14-year-old kid from before. He's like, "Oh, crap. We got to use a different one.
We got to use a different sewer."
What about Pennywise?
Well, I wish at this point Pennywise had just jumped out and bitten Juice's head off. That I would have stood up and cheered. This would have been the best movie of all time.
You want a balloon?
This is for two. This is for Garbage Pail Kids 2 when we remake this.
Perfect. What they'll do is they'll just do the Garbage Pail Kids version of Pennywise like they do, right? They'll do the knockoff. And
you know what I just thought of you mentioning Pennywise?
Yeah.
So, like, another great horror movie, Child's Play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that this isn't similar.
Oh, it is.
No. I mean, it is.
That's what it should have been. They should have been murdering people.
It should have just been a bunch of little Child's Play. The little Chuckies.
They acted on it. Like, the people that made Chucky just
I bet you somebody saw this movie and was
They probably did. You're probably right.
I got an idea. Let's make
because the animatronics for Chucky and Garbage Pail Kids are very oddly similar, except Chucky's done
probably had more worked. Time.
It's more
time.
Face done better.
They were probably working on those instead of the Garbage Pail Kids at the same time. That's why these didn't get done.
That's right.
That's true.
Mm.
They had a bigger budget.
Yeah.
And so after he gets poo water dumped on him in the sewer, the Garbage Pail Kids come down and save him. And this is the first thing that drives me crazy about this movie. He meets all these Garbage Pail Kids, and he doesn't react at all.
No, he's like, hey.
Golly, guys, who are you? Oh, thank you so much.
Right? He just...
Well, he's so traumatized.
He sells it.
Dodger impression I've ever heard.
But he's so traumatized from being covered in black water that he's
It like looks like it happens to him all the time because he just goes, that's just normal for me.
No, what's up, guys?
How you
they
guys go, doing?
They clean him up, put him in the tub, almost eat his toe.
He just no-sells it.
Yeah.
He just...
Oh.
So, we'll just jump to that.
Yeah, what in the blue hell happened there?
I have so many questions.
Kurt?
Why is there a bathtub
in the middle
of the basement, like just out in the open? Why is there a functioning bathtub in an antique shop?
I'm not going to lie. I had that same question. I also think it's funny that Manzini is sort of like the father figure of this kid, but yet he's like not related.
There's a 50-year-old man watching this kid take a bath. A
15-year-old kid taking a bath. And then an
alligator nipping at his toes.
Alligator,
where was the parents?
Well, that's a question that the movie never deems necessary to answer.
Yeah. Because it's not a story about Dodger. It's a story about the Garbage Pail Kids.
You're right.
Who knows? But why are they all... I mean, it's uncomfortable. This old man and all of these Garbage Pail Kids are just sitting in a circle like it's a show.
Absolutely.
Watching him take a bath.
Yeah. And then... And even before that, they kind of go through the... is it before or after they go through the introduction of all the Garbage Pail Kids, isn't it?
That's as he gets out,
As he's getting dressed, right?
Yeah.
As he's wrapped around in some...
But yeah, towel. I mean, he gets introduced right away to Alligator, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Because he's like...
It's a very provocative... Right. Yeah,
One of the girls, I don't know which one, I think it was Messy.
Nice skinny legs.
Nice legs.
Well, yeah. And then when he stands up...
And
okay,
he's got like a half towel.
And he only has a half towel, like from the backside, he's wide open, and you hear, if you listen, you hear the kids like go, oh.
So there was actually a comment in there, he's got a cute butt or something like that. It was in there. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Right. Sorry. And then right after that, I think it's Valerie's like, want to suck face?
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
My God.
Well, that's, yeah.
No, because he says it isn't about beauty or this or that or the other things.
Yeah.
Right, but it just adds to the weird vibe of the scene.
Well, and at the same time, like, so I was thinking about this too, right? So you got the Garbage Pail Kids. They're kids. So if there's a whole planet of kids, are there Garbage Pail parents? Or is it is it just a bunch of kids running around and like they don't get any older than just kids?
So those are like 40-year-olds.
Dumpster
Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah, so now that makes it even worse. Like there's just these Garbage Pail 40-year-old kids.
We've just been saying kids because the kids is in the title, but they might be full grown.
Yeah.
Of whatever species, because they're aliens.
Yeah.
So who knows what they are or how they breed. I don't even want to think about that.
I'm just, tough toothpaste.
But apparently what happened in that basement stays in that basement because it's never mentioned. again, mercifully.
But that's where we get introduced. Alligator, he's like, starts doing the whole toe bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so let's go through these kids. Let's go through these kids. We've got Alligator, right?
Yep.
We've got Valerie Vomit.
Yes, sir.
We have Nerdy Nat, right?
Yeah, Nat Nerd,
covered in pimples. She was the grossest to me, personally. Clean.
Who's the one that kept peeing himself? Was
that's
that
Nat Nerd.
That's Nat Nerd.
Yeah.
That's like anytime they didn't have a joke to finish a scene, they just had her pee herself. It was like six times they went back to the well.
I think that's a man or a boy.
I think it is a boy.
Yeah, Nat Nerd.
I just assumed it was Natalie, but I didn't know. But, all right, so who else? And then we got Winston.
Windy Winston.
Winston. Greaser Greg.
Greaser Greg.
Messy Tessie.
Oh. And Foul Phil.
And Foul Phil. That's right. The baby.
Are you my daddy?
Oh. I
just got halitosis.
It's like a seven-way race for last place there. I can't even. Let's rank them. How good they are. No, they're all last place.
My favorite was Greaser Greg. Always was, always will be.
Really?
Yeah. Just in that movie, he cracked me up. That's why, that's what made me start loving Jim Cummings as a voice actor.
Oh, man.
I mean, I probably the earliest I started following his career.
But he doesn't even like it.
I know. And that's okay.
All right. So after the weird bath scene, he goes back to see Tangerine, right? He kind of stalks her. Doesn't he follow her?
Lives in the same building. I think she lives just two doors down from the
At one Manzini's. Point later, he actually just walks in.
Well, right. And this is, again, a testament to the terrible writing because nothing is connected to anything before, it seems. She's so casual about him getting dumped in the sewer with poo water on him.
Yeah.
They see each other. She's like, oh, sorry about yesterday. Oh, yeah, it's cool.
You're not a horrible person.
Like she dented his car with a shopping cart or something. Like that was how casual the apology was. Like, no, we dragged you into the sewer and poured sewage on you.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about yesterday.
Sorry about that. You know how juice can be.
That's right. It's ridiculous.
And he's like, yeah, it's okay. No big deal.
And this is where we're introduced to the subplot. There can't be a subplot if there's not a plot. So we're introduced to the concept of she's like a fashion, her desire is to be a fashion icon,
right?
And to sell her clothes. And so she drives to, and I don't know how often she does this, daily it seems, to a nightclub somewhere.
Dance
clubs.
Sells the clothes she was wearing even.
And right off her back sometimes, right? Yeah. And sells clothes out of her car. Was this a thing that was happening?
In the 80s?
In the 80s?
Apparently.
We weren't old enough to know.
Yeah, I wasn't 15 pretending I was 26 selling my clothes out of my car.
That seemed weird. Okay, so she sells clothes at a club in the parking lot and brought this 12-year-old along to do it, and they're both not old enough to drive, and yet here we are, and she's, selling the clothes off her back. And when you start to do the math, it all is really, really bad.
Yeah.
And then Juice comes in and takes the money. So he's... I spent this whole movie trying to figure out what Juice is. Like, what is his job? What does he do? He's like her pimp, but with clothes?
Right.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think what she does is her own thing.
Okay.
And then
he just steals it?
Yeah,
he
just steals her money. Yeah, and she's like, okay, it's Juice. What am I going to do? I don't want to end up in the highway somewhere.
You got it. When Juice comes and you got to hide, right? Yeah.
You got to get into a zip bag.
Right.
You got to get into an athletic zip bag, and you got to hide.
There's no – how – he literally was standing right next to the car, and Juice walks up.
Pulls it up nobody notices the bag just sliding across the hood of the car.
And then he stuffs himself into a gym bag. This is Dodger we're talking about.
Yes.
It would have to have been in full view of everybody, and no one saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody just walks back inside. Oh, Juice is here. Close sale's over. See ya. Bye.
Hey, babe.
How would these people at this club know?
Right. Juice's reputation.
That's the same club from Howard the Duck.
No, because there wasn't four different people getting sexually assaulted outside.
Yeah, that's
true. Why. Tried to get Howard. They tried to get her. They tried to get everybody. Right. This wasn't Cleveland because there wasn't enough physical assaults. But this idea, how do you stuff yourself into a gym bag? I don't think it's...
Cocaine.
You think Dodger was ripped on coke?
Everybody was.
At 16?
It was the 80s.
It was the 80s, man. Okay. I'm not gonna. Well, maybe.
That's a different kind of bag you zip yourself into.
And so this movie does what it does many times, and it just decides we're just gonna go do whatever we want in this next part of the movie. And so the Garbage Pail Kids just go do stuff.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's literally what happens. They
break out.
They break out.
Yep.
And they run over Juice's van.
Yes, with a Pepsi truck.
With a Pepsi truck.
Yes.
He sees it is right here. It's like he looks and the headlights are on his face.
Yeah.
But he has enough time to get out of the van.
Oh, yeah.
jump away. But the muffler is like flying over his head while he's jumping yeah. over the tire.
This bounce. Was my favorite part of the movie. Was and, just watching. This
and I'm like, oh, they hit his car, right? And they threw some car parts into the camera to make it look like a big thing. But then yeah. what I wasn't prepared for is that when they cut to the car and it's flat like a steamroller went yeah. over it.
And he's like,
and the front of that van is in mint condition. In right.
Shot. Yeah. Right. That's a good the Pepsi truck.
Yeah. That's a good Pepsi truck. I think that was a Freightliner.
How did they flatten the van? It's obviously they didn't. But
Bob,
they,
you drive a truck. Is this possible?
Did you squash everything, even the engine? Just totally flat?
If it's a smart car, possibly. If you're coming at it at like 80, if you can get your truck up to like 80 miles an hour,
you might be able to smush
it. You might be able
enough.
To smush a smart car.
Yeah.
But the most damage. You'll probably do is knock it out into the wall.
You're going to spin it out of it.
Yeah.
Like a hockey puck. Just yeah. Zoom.
So gotcha. What they did is they went to the local Hollywood junkyard and said, we need a flat car.
Right. It was basically they're like, oh, this is a cartoon now.
Or it got monster trucked.
Right.
Yeah. Or Monster Jam was in town and they just like, can I have that?
And then they drive their Pepsi truck to an alley to have a cookout, like a weird hobo cookout around a...
around hey, we're the Pepsi generation.
That's right. Yeah. And Pepsi should be ashamed of themselves. For letting this happen,
yes. Is there a Pepsi garbage pail kit in that film?
No, I don't believe there is. That's a good question.
Pepsi looked at this movie and they were like, "We're in."
Yeah. Wait, you guys only want like $40 in a truck with the stickers?
That's
on what.
That's the power of cocaine, man. That's the power of cocaine.
Not only are we in for just like some product placement, there's a couple of Pepsis on the table. We're in for a whole
truck
scene
and a truck.
Where you literally are having dialogue. It was like something out of Wayne's World, right? Yes, and it's the taste of a new generation. I mean, it was a straight-up Pepsi commercial.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
In the movie.
Right there.
And so Pepsi, man, I don't know, somebody got fired, right? Some guy in marketing was like, whoever greenlit the Pepsi scene in Garbage Pail Kids.
Gone.
And there was somebody gone. There was like,
but he's, you working, know what? He's working for Coke
all
now.
All publicity is good publicity, right?
I mean, true, but they did make all their money back with Back to the Future.
They did. No, Pepsi... you know, made better calls when they hitched their wagon to Back to the Future. And, you know, they had
Can
Michael
I get
Jackson.
Pepsi free?
Pepsi perfect.
Right. You got a Pepsi, pal. You're going to pay for it. Yeah. So then they come home from this, right? This movie is like the inane dialogue. I should say this before we move on. Back in the scene, in the cookout scene, between when they're all just talking to each other.
Sure.
It's like a 4-year-old wrote it.
Yeah.
I absolutely felt that. It's like, this is legitimately a kid somewhere. Like, who says, like, that's the good, yeah, that's the lines we're going to use. This is how we're going to go. This doesn't make any sense. It was definitely kids wrote this.
Yes. It's like, these pages came hot off the press, and the PA walked in, and like, we got these hot script pages for you, man. Here we go. And this is what they went with.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah, that got okayed somewhere.
Right.
Cocaine. Yeah.
All right. But anyway, they move on from their...
Hobo Fest
to make a Michael Jackson jacket for Dodger.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's everything so random.
Yeah, no. Well, and the fact that they know how to sew and like, is there sweatshops on Garbage Pail Land? Like, I don't.
And apparently we find out why Michael Jackson did so well. It must be the jacket.
Sure.
Well, the jacket made him moonwalk.
Because he puts on this jacket, and Tangerine's ready to seduce Dodger when she sees him with the jacket on.
Right.
She's like, whoa, nice threads. Yeah.
And so Tangerine says, I need 47 more of these jackets or whatever by Friday. And we get another one of the best lines in the entire movie when she says, be careful. I'm too happy to die.
Yeah. Well, this he is, comes
this
back.
This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he already like left out the door. And then he comes back to say the line.
I know.
And so then dumb. She does the little like, oh, a smirk. Mm.
This is the problem when you take trading cards with where you have to make up everything about it, right? Like we were talking about.
Right.
Picture executives sitting around a table in movie studio trying to brainstorm Garbage Pail Kids, right? And they're like, all right, what kind of adventures are we going to take the Garbage Pail Kids on? We've got this huge catalog of characters we can use. The kids love to collect the cards. We got to take them on a cool adventure for the kids. All right. What if the Garbage Pail Kids
make jackets?
What if they form a non-union sweatshop and mass produce jackets for a fashion show?
Well, and that's, let's not.
And then an executive stood up and they just started clapping.
They did a slow clap.
Why is this the plot of the Garbage Pail Kids movie?
And also, they go out, and obviously, like, nothing is above the Garbage Pail Kids. Because obviously, I mean,
yeah,
I'm a collector of the cards. There is, you guys know, there is some pretty, let's just, vulgar stuff
sure,
to some
sure.
degree for a kid. But, like, they had to go out and start stealing sewing right. machines, and they're like, let's yeah. just go get it, you know, like
right.
and they just go out and they start stealing all this stuff.
Well,
you know?
I feel like we can't talk about that without talking about the musical number that happens while
sure.
this happens. This movie, I mean, the whole movie is a sharp left turn, but then even here it takes another sharp left turn. He's like, all right, you know, we'll give you the answer in the morning, right? Yeah, like yeah. let's see if we can
we'll
do
talk
this for
over
you.
Breakfast. Yeah.
Right. And then out of nowhere, which I feel like I say over and over again in this movie, there's a flipping musical number.
We yeah. can do anything when working with each other.
Which, again, was written by someone who clearly had never written music in their life. And yet it was still better than Frozen.
You're damn right. God, I hate Frozen.
We can do anything when we are working together or whatever it is.
Oh, God.
And there's a musical number. It's like serenading them each other while they're setting up a non-union sweatshop.
I mean,
what is this movie?
That's why you work. Nat Nerd peed at least two times in that musical number. Yeah.
Right. You're both right. Yeah, it was like a demented version of Hi-Ho from Snow White, right? Right? I mean, it was like... And what non-union sweatshop has a sign on the front that goes, this is a non-union sweatshop? There's literally a giant sign on the front
yeah,
of the building.
Yeah, back then, yeah, I didn't think you really wanted to... Could right, be. You weren't supposed to advertise that kind of thing.
Right, so they're going to set this up for union, child labor.
The union sweatshops came through, and they made sure that everybody non-union signed, you know.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, they didn't want to be put into that crowd.
Must be a Canadian thing.
Does this happen in Toronto as well?
I'm just dumbfounded that the plot of this movie involves child labor in a non-union sweatshop to make jackets for a girl that wants to put on a Walmart fashion show. That's the plot. Of this stupid movie.
Right.
My problem
that's
the
what they, that's what they came
help.
Up with. My that's what they came up with.
I agree.
With this movie is legitimately it's the Garbage Pail Kids. This could have gone anyway. We didn't even need a plot for this movie, which they agreed with because they didn't build one.
No.
And but like legitimately it could have been 4-minute snippets all the way throughout because you're doing this for kids who don't have an attention span longer right. than that anyway. And it could have been here is one Garbage Pail Kid and his interaction with whatever or some others. It could have just been 4-minute completely separate randomness and it would have turned out better than this.
I agree. And speaking of randomness, right after they try to put boogers on a TV to fix it, they are like, right. They're like,
I can't believe it didn't work.
They're like, let's go to the movies. And then they manifest four-wheelers out of thin air.
Oh, yes. And obviously they made all their like Ninja Turtle disguises with the trench coats, sunglasses, right, right. and a hat. Yeah,
it works.
Yeah.
Where did they get these four-wheelers?
I have no idea. And a radio flyer.
They stole them. Yeah.
They stole them from the alley directly behind right. them.
Yeah, when they went out to get all the
because you know in the city equipment. In the city there's lots of people with four wheelers just out back,
out right? running through alleys, going right. into secret theaters with episodes of Three Stooges playing. Yeah,
and the no selling from the people in this movie continued in the movie theater. Right, there were people that got annoyed with them because they were being annoying, but other than that. Nobody was reacting to these horrific things.
No, it's like they just fit right in.
Everyone just yeah. no-sells it the entire movie.
I mean, Messy Tessie sneezed, what, 2-3 times?
And blew popcorn over.
And boogers all over everybody.
Right. It wasn't until the third time people were like, all right, I guess we should leave. This is
this is horrible. Who's doing this? How, like, one time?
Yeah.
That's okay. I understand. Somebody spilled yeah. their popcorn. But twice? Oh, I'm angry.
And I found out they shot this entire movie in a giant warehouse. And so almost every set they built in a different part of the warehouse. So that was clearly not a real movie theater.
Mm.
It was just seats they set real? Up. No, it was not real. Everything was built in the same warehouse. And then in some cases torn down so they could build the next thing. Or they just use a different part of the warehouse. And the sets were terrible.
Yeah.
What was the budget on this one?
Oh, I don't know.
It was $1 million.
$1 million?
$1 million.
And it made, shut the front door.
Yeah,
that was the joke. It was it made over its money back.
Yeah, how much did it make in the box?
$1.6 million dollars.
This thing was a success.
That's why I said earlier this movie made more money than Cool as Ice.
this movie couldn't break $2 million at the box office, but it still made more than its budget.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
That's a sequel right there.
Why didn't we get a sequel?
Why didn't we get a sequel?
All right, so after the movie theater, well, not after, but during, we had Wendy Winston and Alligator decided to go to the toughest bar in the city.
Yes, right. And there was a sign that actually said, the toughest bar in the world.
I know, yeah. Right. And
I'll be right back.
And they end, and of course, movie trope alert. You can't have a scene in a biker bar in the 90s movie without breaking out into an all-out fight.
Yeah.
I mean, every single time.
And let's add being slid across the bar.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, that's been done to death.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
In every movie.
Because it works.
The director's sitting there in the director's chair going, gosh, I just feel like we should slide somebody across this bar. I don't know, yeah. Right?
Has that been done before? Right. I don't think, not in a kid's movie.
No. And so, I will say, maybe the only time I legitimately laughed on purpose, as opposed to laughing at the movie, but laughing at what they were trying to get me to laugh at, was when Winston farts a guy's mustache right off of his face.
Which, let's add to that scene, you can literally see the strings pulling the mustache off the man's face.
Yes,
and it even tugs his face a little. He's
it
like,
does.
Oh, there it
his
goes.
His facial expressions. He sold the, hell out of that fart.
He did. He did. Yeah. That guy was the best actor in the entire movie.
Yeah. Hey, these guys are all right. They're tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. It's funny. Is that they went to the well with some of these kids. Like we said, with Nat, she peed 6 times. With Winston, every scene he was in, I feel like he was, you know,
farting.
Yeah. But Valerie vomited once.
One time.
But it counted when she finished.
I know, but...
It was a good one.
It was a very good
one. It was probably because, you know, how much they only had one head. So maybe it was like the big finale. Like, okay, we can't damage this,
right,
this head until we know that everything's shot. So we can't have her vomiting numerous times throughout the movie because we're going to destroy,
right,
you know... The one head we have. And we can't be having her going around just...
Now,
because the jaw broke.
Oozing out of her mouth.
You know,
she's got her mouth wide open the entire movie.
Yeah.
Everything she
you
does.
Think she's going to vomit
right
half the time. Yeah.
I think she fakes him out a couple times too, right? Yeah.
She's like, ha-ha, gotcha.
Now, the hijinks continue. They leave the bar after making best friends with all of the bikers because, of course, they did.
And how did that start?
These
Alligator wanted to eat some bar guys, a motorcycle guy wearing sandals.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. There was a guy wearing slippers.
It was sandals.
Yeah.
Open-toed sandals.
You never seen somebody wear open-toed sandals on a motorcycle?
So Alligator walks up and he's like, too leathery, and the girl's got like boots on, snakeskin boots, and then he's like, oh yeah, and he's like, toes, and then like the guy's got sandals on, and he's going to like drink his beer or something, and he spits beer everywhere, and you just hear crunch, crunch, crunch,
this
crunch.
This guy's biting my toes.
Yeah, and then that's what starts the bar fight. Yeah,
biker with sandals,
and then I don't remember how did they make up. And suddenly decide to be friends with her.
Just because Wendy
the
Winston,
toughest guys.
Yeah, Wendy fart Winston comes off in, the guy's farts. Face. Yeah, that's pretty much what
it's just totally arbitrary.
And the guy just stands up and he's like, these guys are all right.
These guys are tough.
These guys are all right.
Like, yeah.
They're one of us now.
Yeah. I got pink eye. These guys are great.
Yeah, and then the hijinks continue because right after this we get one of the dumbest jokes, and as a plumber, Kurt, I'm sure you'll appreciate this. They just go down into the sewer and they know the pipe that's connected to the exact toilet that Juice is using at that exact moment.
Yes. And just launches him to the ceiling and douses him with poo water.
Yeah. This. Yeah. And then there's a sign on another pipe that goes, jacuzzi.
Hot tub. Yeah.
Hot tub.
This way.
And just puts poop into their hot tub.
Yeah. Oh, the water's turning brown.
And they still sat in it. They didn't move.
They didn't get out of it.
They've been soaking in poop the entire time they're in this movie.
Oh,
so.
It's all right.
I can tell you, as a plumber, the moment I get poo on me, like, I'm not like... Oh, that's poo.
Right.
But I'm like, ooh, there's still just a part of you that's like, ew,
that's poo.
I mean, you don't freak out, you know, obviously, but you stand up, wipe your hands off. But
it says everything you need to know about.
Stop eating your sandwich.
Yes. And it says everything.
I'm still eating that sandwich.
It's all right.
It says everything you need to know about Turbo that she just kind of was like fine with it and just stayed in the house.
They were both fine with it. They sat in there.
Well, cocaine's a hell of a drug, man.
I don't mind getting.
He was
UTI.
Probably like, dude, I've already taken this Viagra. I'm not wasting it.
That's right.
You think they had Viagra back then? I don't know that they did.
No, they didn't.
They didn't?
No, not in the 80s. I don't think so.
No.
So it was just purely cocaine then.
That's the most ridiculous thing ever.
That was the Viagra.
I honestly didn't know that, so I apologize. I didn't
know. No.
You don't need to.
No, they would need to apologize. No, you don't need to apologize. They would just shoot crystal meth directly into their nuts, and that's how they do.
Bob is young enough.
Oh, good Lord.
Bob is young enough that he thinks Viagra was naturally occurring in
the world. No, back in the day, Bob, back in the 80s, we would just pick the Viagra plants and chew the leaves. That's how we got.
Seriously, what was Viagra like? What was Viagra a thing? The 90s?
Yeah, yes. I think 90s. Sure.
All right, my apologies.
That's okay.
That's all right.
That's all right.
You're the youngest guy here. I understand. I get it.
Welcome back to Garbage Pail Kids.
This is
brought to you by Pfizer.
A running theme. A running theme. I feel like it, almost every episode, because these movies are bad, they all kind of share in some of the same movie sins, right? Sure. That they introduce very important plot points way too late into the movie.
Plot points?
Right?
Oh, are you talking about the ugly people prison?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like, stayed home for the ugly.
Like, oh, by the way, we have all of these friends, these other garbage bail kids that we never mentioned the entire time we've been out so far, and we need to find them. And they were put in the state home for the ugly, which is an actual thing this movie says is happening in the city.
But they killed them.
Well, we'll get to that. The point is, Bob, that you're missing is that there's a state home for the ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't survive in today's world. No, there's no way. Well,
that's not PC enough.
No.
These old guys literally were going around with giant nets, and when they found an ugly person, they would net them and bring them back
when
to the home.
When I first told you about this, and you were like, you know, we were kind of crash coursing each other when we were talking about the ideas of this, you know, watching this movie, and I was like, yeah, there's a state home for the ugly. You laughed out loud because you were physically like, that isn't a thing.
This is the concept is ridiculous. Like, imagine if you had like an ugly friend that just was gone one day. They finally got him.
Would I get to live there for free?
You absolutely would be.
Right next to Santa Claus.
Right next to Santa Claus.
And Abe Lincoln and Gandhi.
Why was Santa put in a cage? That should be an action movie.
He was too fat.
Right there.
That should be right on the front of the cage. That's
the ending of that movie.
But it's not the state home for people that are too fat. This is why it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
But Santa Claus should have busted out and just started dishing out Santa Claus.
They considered fat people ugly, apparently.
Was this like a zoo?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Display cages.
There was hay in each.
Yes, there was hay
in each cell. Like I don't know if they were just feeding them.
Abe Lincoln, I know you're 160 years old.
There was
somehow here's some hay if you get hungry.
There was
buddy.
This ultra hairy guy with polka dot hair all over his body.
They couldn't find that's the hairy. Best part. The two hairy guy. They couldn't find a hairy guy. They just took somebody and like glued scotch taped, scotch taped tufts of hair all over him. Like you could walk out onto the street in LA and find somebody with hair on their back.
Gandhi was in there, right? And his, I think, was too skinny. And you're like, ouch. Like what a slap in the face to Gandhi after all his
transactions. There was somebody in there that was too crippled.
Yes. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Definitely wouldn't fly today.
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was very tiny timmed.
But before we get sidetracked, we can't forget about the super important subplot of selling clothes. So,
in the real bad bow tie that never left his neck.
That's right. And Tangerine is now introduced to the Garbage Pail Kids. And guess what? She also doesn't seem to care.
She's like, oh, they're so ugly.
Right. Yeah. And then that's it. And then she's fine. Like, okay, I guess these aliens are a thing.
Valerie vomits like, oh, I want to model your clothes. And she's like, oh, you can't. You're not. You're
tall
too,
enough.
Yeah.
You're too pretty. Short.
Yeah, you're not pretty enough. And then, you know, Dodger's like, hey, they got feelings. You got to be careful.
But unfortunately, Tangerine double crosses them with Juicy because she wants to use their fashion powers for evil.
Yes. Evil fashion
That's
powers.
That's right. And so she's going to use their clothes that they're making to set up a fashion show. This is the other plot that's happening alongside this trying to break out the other kids from the state home for the ugly. So you get two threads running.
Is this what they were stealing all the money for? Was Juicy like putting on? Juice was going to put on his own fashion show with Tangerine.
It's looking more and more like Tangerine was the brains.
How did you pay for all that?
Was the brains of the operation, and he was her lackey.
Yeah, like right? There's models. I mean, you had to pay money to somebody to put this on,
and he was hoarding the money.
Models.
Well, no. So Juicy kidnaps the Garbage Pail Kids because, you know, now that you have all of their clothes, we're gonna, you know, kill them by giving them to these people. Yes. But like, wouldn't you want the sweatshop to keep making clothes for you?
Yeah.
Because what happens after you sell your first batch of clothes, Tangerine? You're not thinking down the road from a business sense.
No, she's very poor.
Very selling the design at that point. You know, the actual sweatshops, the union sweatshops will take over from
you. You're biting the juicy toes right. that feed you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so at the same time as all this is happening, they're trying, you know, Captain Manzini and Dodger are trying to scope out the state home for the ugly, and their attempts to scope it out are laughable.
I love when the Barney Fife characters right. like capture the little girl in a mask for whatever reason.
Right.
All the other kids are running, and the person with the mask has to go find the kids that are hiding.
Yep.
Like, is that the game they're playing?
I guess. I don't know.
Weird city.
Oh, an ugly kid.
Yeah, and then they capture him with a net, like it's a dog pound.
That's what I'm saying. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Imagine if there were people driving around the streets looking for ugly people, and when they found one, they just net them and take them away.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You shouldn't be wearing masks unless it's Halloween, the guy says.
You can just go to California. They do it all the time.
Well, but all the ugly people don't live in California. They're in Sacramento.
I think Sacramento's in California.
I meant L.A. Yeah. So all the pretty people are in L.A. and Hollywood. And actually, no, have you ever been to Hollywood? That's not true. Their attempts to scope out the state home for the ugly.
Yes.
Is involve them just running up to the front door.
Excuse me.
No, they jump up. Well, yes, but they jump on the back of the. That's when they were trying to capture the kids. And they jump on the back and then take. They literally jump stowaway on this truck, and the truck takes them.
Right.
To, like, how do you not find this building with a sign right in the front that says, stay at home, you know?
I've never been able to figure out where this place is.
Yeah. I guess before MapQuest and GPS, you just jumped on.
Bob, MapQuest is what was here before we had Google Maps.
I do remember MapQuest. MapQuest never took you to the place you wanted to go.
So Dodger finds out that he's been double-crossed, and they throw him in the dumpster, which, you know, really is a win compared to what they usually do to him. I think I'd be pretty happy with just the old dumpster toss. At least they didn't take me into the sewer and dump poo water on me again.
Yeah. Sure.
And he gets out, and then they head to save the kids, right?
Yep.
And the fashion show starts. This is the most low-rent fashion show I think I've ever seen set up. They like went to the dollar store and got some... birthday party decorations and hung them up in a room somewhere. It
looks like a fashion show at the Walmart in Antioch.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And this lady gets up here, and this is what she calls the fashion show, and I almost died. Tangerine's clothes to wear when one simply doesn't know what to wear to occasions which it doesn't matter what one wears.
Seems legit. It's
brilliant.
If it's an occasion where it doesn't matter what you wear, then I don't need your dumb clothes.
I got my own taste. I mean, back in the 80s, I mean, I was wearing Zubas, so I have no right to talk on my fashion. Also, when they went to break out the kids, remember the motorcycle guys?
Oh, yeah, they go
joined in freeing the kids.
So how did Dodger and Manzini know,
again,
that those guys were their buddies?
Yeah, it was just like, who told them?
It got around town, man.
Yeah?
It got around town.
No.
Somebody stole the ugly kids.
They probably cut the scene where they were sitting at the bar watching TV, and then it was on the news.
Oh
yeah.
Good call. Friends.
Movie trope alert. In almost every single movie that we do, someone gets really important information because they happen to be sitting at a TV watching the news in a bar, like in UHF, in the middle of the day. That's the thing that happens.
Yeah.
Or cool as ice.
And so they go, and they are now going to break the kids out of the state home for the ugly. Right?
Free Santa Claus.
Free, you got a free Santa Claus.
Got to free all of them.
I'm not even going to talk about how Abraham Lincoln is in the, like, is that the Abraham Lincoln?
It's just a guy named Abraham Lincoln. I think you're making an outlandish leap.
Okay, so he's just named Abraham Lincoln and he dresses like him, even though he died.
Same as Gandhi.
150 years earlier.
Not the same guy.
He was probably Abe Lincoln from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Here's their,
I was thinking,
here's the escape plan.
Of, Abe Lincoln from Men in Tights.
There you go.
Or Abe Lincoln from Men in Tights.
That's Dave Chappelle. Now,
Abe Lincoln.
The escape plan is to distract the guards, get the cage open, fart on the guards, step on them, and then rip their pants off.
Yes, so that they can't chase them.
Because that's what happens.
When you take their pants, they will not chase you.
That's what happened with the Pepsi guy. It's like a precursor.
And then right before they get in there, you saw this garbage truck drive away, right? And so we find out, he's like, they get out and like, oh, where's our friends? And Manzini knows what happened to them, right? He goes, well, actually, they got crushed. You remember that garbage truck? I'm like, hold on. They were there for how long? Because you'd been stuck in this garbage can, at least for the entire movie and before that, because these kids have been in that garbage can for who knows how long.
Right.
Right? And you just, like, they just got crushed 2 minutes before you got there. And we never saw them.
I'm going to jump ahead. That garbage can gets my Will, or that garbage truck gets my Will Patton Award for stopping us from having to deal with more of these garbage pail kids.
I just want to know who they were going to pick.
It just seems so arbitrary.
Being a fan of the series, I was like, oh, I missed out on other garbage pail kids being in this movie.
They didn't have any more heads. The ones they had didn't work already. And they set up this huge plot point. There's other garbage pail kids. And then you get there and like, oh, yeah, they got killed 2 minutes ago. It's such a lazy, like,
out
for the writers. It's just, that was terrible.
The budget was probably getting tight at that point.
Or this is just literally the best they could possibly do.
That's possible.
Right? That's also possible. And so they all head back to the fashion show to squeeze some juice. And when they get there, the kids just start ripping everybody's clothes off.
Yes, that's their move.
They rip the guard's pants off. They were like trying to get Dodger out of his clothes all the time. Yep. And they just roll up here and they're like, these are our clothes.
And they just start ripping them off everybody. Yeah.
And then there's just women running around in bikinis, basically, like that's screaming.
The best part of the movie.
It is the best part of the
movie. They're just screaming and running in circles. No one leaves. No one leaves. Like, there's got to be an exit somewhere. But all the models just keep running back and forth.
Well, I think it's necessary in almost every 80s movie that you have to, that's a kind of another trope.
Yeah.
There has to be somebody either getting semi-naked or fully naked and running around.
Seem like it was something from that decade specifically.
Yeah, I mean, you think about like 80s. Any of the Nerds movies.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just always something like that going on.
Yeah, and there is this hilarious part where I love that none of the people that are there watching the fashion show have left. They're all just sitting there in their chairs.
Enjoying the melee that's going on. Yeah.
And then it just cuts to the one guy in the back. He's like, yeah, those creeps sure are ugly, huh?
Right.
Like, out of nowhere. And then Winston apparently doesn't like that, and he just farts the room over. Yeah, exactly. Because we haven't done that joke to death. And, you know, when Winston turns around, like, I wonder what he's going to do. And then we get the fight scene. What do you guys think of the fight scene between Dodger and Juicy?
Yeah, what is this kid doing? I mean, honestly, this fight is ridiculous. And there was a 2x4 sitting on the stage the whole time. Like, oh, somebody's going to pick up the 2x4 and smack somebody with it. They never use it. It's just
That would have been great. I would have liked that.
He still has on that dumb bow tie.
You're obsessed with the bow tie.
He looked like an idiot.
Well, yeah, but I think that was the choice.
Everybody in this movie looked like an idiot.
You wear a bow tie around your neck, like just like that.
Where would you wear your bow tie?
Around my arm, maybe.
Oh, great. Now you're going to look like Juice's other right hand. No,
that's right. Flex.
Bob, I want to get you next episode in a mesh tank top like Meatball hat on, okay?
Yeah,
with the glasses and the whole thing. Can you come dressed like Meatball to the next episode?
I would have to do at least 2,000 push-ups a day.
No, it'd be better if it was just a little gooey under there.
And then I'm going to come in with a skateboard and basketball, and I will end you.
Everything.
Oh, no.
Where would you put your bow tie?
I feel like you could have pulled a knife out.
I would wear my bow tie on my neck. That's
just like that? Just like that?
No, but I mean, that's where they go.
I feel like you could have pulled out a knife on Meatball, and he would have known what to do, right? He's like, all right, no problem. Let's go.
But basketball?
Can we talk about the fact that Dodger started crying after he
fought? It was like a Christmas. It was like a Christmas Story moment, right? When he was, remember in A Christmas Story when Ralphie's finally beating up the bully?
Yeah.
And like by the time they pull him off, he's just like,
I wouldn't be crying. I'd be like, give me an object.
Yeah, he's just,
I'm going to cram this somewhere.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is why it plays.
Why are you crying?
It plays more and more like this kid's 12 years old than anything. But he's supposedly getting with this woman who's 6 foot tall. And beating up Juicy, who's like a 27-year-old clothing pimp. None of it makes any sense.
Turbo definitely got a mouthful of vomit.
Oh, that was great. She got
the money shot of vomit.
She finally vomits right in Turbo's mouth. And I,
I felt for
that
Turbo
was the best part of the
moment.
Movie.
It was great, but I feel like it was out of character for Turbo. I think Turbo would have been like, that's actually pretty good.
She probably would have. But this is a kid's movie, so we can't do that.
I right. feel really bad for Turbo at that moment because once when my daughter was only like a month or two old and we were playing the, my wife would swing her to me and I would kiss her every time she got close and she just spit up. Right in my mouth hole. It was
right. So
I felt at that moment. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
So yeah. did you have like PTSD at this point?
And a little bit.
I feel so bad for Turbo.
But then I was okay because I flashed to, daughter being little tiny
at this point.
Again.
Did you look at the consistency of the vomit? It started from liquid to toothpaste.
Gelatinous goo to toothpaste.
It was bad. At this point, Bob, I was just happy the movie was over. Honestly, I sat there for a minute really thinking about it. I was like, this is what they did with the Garbage Pail Kids.
Yes.
They're just like, okay, the plot of this movie is going to be trash midgets stop fashion show from ruining town.
That's on four wheelers.
That would have been a better title, really. I mean,
trash midgets stop fashion show from ruining town.
That's a great, that's a Jerry Springer episode.
Honestly. Because they're family.
I guess at this point, we got to give awards to this movie, guys.
We have to.
We're contractually obligated to give out awards to every movie.
I didn't name this show Bad Movies Rule.
All right. So usually we do the Will Patton Award at this point. You gave your Will Patton Award to the garbage truck
that rails.
This is a
stopped half the Garbage Pail Kids we didn't meet.
That stopped this from being twice as long as it could have been.
It did. I mean, that was actually a dump truck playing a garbage truck. So the acting was actually really incredible.
Right, it was a transformer.
You know what they could have done? They could have just reused the same characters. Because honestly, the cards, you had two different names for each card.
Right.
What they should have done, they should have taken all those characters, give them a $200 million budget, and made a Garbage Pail Kids Suicide Squad movie. Send these kids into action.
I would love that.
Directed by Michael Bay.
Directed by Michael Bay.
You have no idea how much I would love that to happen.
I don't know why. I don't understand why you would.
And have John Cena lead them to battle.
What's with John Cena? Get out of town.
No, John Cena.
Dodger grown up. You can't see me.
That's the problem.
John Cena.
No one would know he was in the movie. It would just be the Garbage Pail Kids. You got to get somebody people can see.
No, I'm saying like John Cena, adult Dodger, leading the Garbage Pail Kids into battle.
But I'm saying you couldn't see him, so it would just be like there was no one there.
That's true.
You have
to get
an actor you can see.
All right.
I don't know how he's able to be in movies.
How about Dwayne Johnson?
The Rock, no.
He would do it.
He would never do it. All right, hold on. Back to the Will Patton Award.
There's no Will Patton Award for this.
So the bit player, that did the best with what little they had, he gave it to the garbage truck. Who do you guys got for the Will? You saying you got nobody?
I'm straight up giving it to Jim Cummings.
I
loved him. I thought all his lines were fantastic.
We were actually going to take this seriously?
Yeah, 100%. I take all these movies seriously.
Out of respect for Kurt, I would give it to Captain Martini.
Who shall henceforth be known as Captain Martini. He probably was drinking some martinis in his trailer to get through making this movie.
Oh, dude.
I'm going to give my Will Patton Award to the guy at the fashion show that was just like, well, these creeps sure are ugly. Like, he delivered the hell out of that line.
Yeah.
It was great. Normally, we would do top three. We can't do top three.
Oh, no. I got him. I got three. I got some quotes.
All right.
Here's one of my favorite quotes.
We're doing top three.
I'm doing top three performances.
Top three performances.
No, there is. You missed it.
Well, I'll wait for you quotes then. No, you do quotes in a second. Go ahead.
Larry Moe and Shep.
The three.
Nailed it. Best performances in the whole movie.
The Three Stooges were in the movie theater, so you're right.
Well, and all the episodes they could have picked.
Yeah, they could have done better with that. Really? But still,
that's probably the only one they would allow them to use.
Oh, maybe. I mean, MGM did put together the movie.
Yeah.
So I suppose.
They should have had access to the whole library.
Yeah, I don't know.
Amazon now owns the rights to Garbage Pail Kids.
Jeff Bezos. Is going to make a Garbage Pail Kids movie. All right, who you got for top three?
Well, I enjoyed Dodger. As a kid watching this movie, I felt like I kind of bonded with him as a kid. Like, I was the kind of the nerdy kid.
Yeah.
You know.
Were you?
Yeah. You don't think so? After loving this movie like I did?
Did you have the bow tie?
I don't wear bow ties then, but I wear them now.
Well, we should just go to the next Comic-Con and cosplay as the characters from this movie. You could dress up like Juicy. You could dress up like Meatball. You could be Turbo.
That's going to be awesome.
And I won't go.
Clinton and I
don't have to. I'll video tape the whole thing.
Clinton and I are going to drag around a poop-filled hot tub.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we pull you guys sitting around in it, and Clinton will just keep talking about how it's not that bad.
It's warm.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
No, Dodger. That's fine. And then, I would say Captain Martini. I just enjoyed who he was. And then, honestly, I'm going to give it to everybody that did their best to do in the little people.
Okay.
Did their best to be the Garbage Pail Kids.
It wasn't their fault their heads didn't work.
I'm also thinking about how hot it was probably in those outfits.
Yeah.
Probably all the stuff they had to go through.
They were busting out work.
To hit their marks. I mean, you can kind of see there's a couple of times where they're trying to climb on the four-wheelers.
Yeah.
And they're looking for the handles because they probably can't see in those things.
No, you can't see.
It's just... Yeah, I felt bad for them. I feel like they deserve an award.
Yeah, I'll give them my number three spot too, just because I feel bad for them. That's the pity spot. And then I'm gonna go guy at the fashion show number two, and then the guy whose mustache got farted off his face at number one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. What about you, Bob? You got anything?
All right, was these quotes now? Give us the top quotes you had in this movie.
Wanna suck face? That pail is jail.
That pail is jail.
Take the red, get dead. My kind of men, real psychos.
That's right.
World full of great things. They gave us chicks to mess it up.
Wait, hold on. That was a line of this movie. Yes. I totally missed it.
100%.
Say it again.
World full of great things. Then they gave us chicks to mess it up.
That was Greaser Greg.
That's a line that somebody wrote. He said, we had a world full of great things, and then they gave us chicks to mess it up.
Yeah, he was trying to cheer up Dodger because Dodger felt like... Oh,
so much to unpack in just that one line of dialogue.
But if I had to pick best actors, back to that, I would probably pick Captain Martini.
Captain Martini.
Okay, Greaser Greg.
Okay.
And Santa Claus.
And Santa Claus.
Santa Claus for work done previously, I'm assuming, that's right. Not in this film.
That's right. So the question that I have to pose now, guys, that we've
no, we discussed, would not watch this again.
Not would you watch it again? I'm not even going to ask if this should be remade because I think the answer to that
is Suicide
absolutely
Squad,
it should be remade. I think anybody would say this needs to be remade. What I would ask is, does this movie get better with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it? As we said back in the Judge Dredd episode, Schwarzenegger makes every movie better.
From the 80s.
That's right. I feel like...
You got to get back in the pail. Do it now. No. Kidding.
As Captain Manzini?
No.
Captain Manzini, get in the tub now. Put the soap on your skin and wash away.
I think it's time for a bath.
It's time for a bath. What do you mean there's a building called Home of the Ugly People? No.
All right, yes. It would be better with Arnold.
Get out of here. Right. Get to the dumpster.
Well, what else? What's left to say about Garbage Pail Kids? They took a trading card that had, some gross things on it and made it into a movie. And they decided the best way to do that was to have these trash midgets work in a sweatshop and try and stop a fashion show. So that's what we're end up with, this incredible piece of performance art. I don't know. That's probably the best that I could do.
You know what? Like Kurt said.
I love it.
Sorry.
Yep. No, go ahead.
Like Kurt said, like they made it to the finish line.
Yeah.
They all deserve, like we all did movies.
Any movie that gets done and is
you get a high five.
Completed, you get a crisp high five.
They made 0.6 more than what they took to produce.
600K.
They made more than Cool as Ice.
That's true.
How much did Cool as Ice make?
Which
not even a million.
Clint swears is the greatest movie ever made, and yet this movie did better than it.
$1 million better.
I guess what we're saying is Garbage Pail Kids is a better movie than Cool as Ice.
I don't agree.
I think Garbage Pail Kids, disagree. If you added Vanilla Ice into Garbage Pail Kids, can you imagine?
It would have been worse. Yes, most likely.
Absolutely.
He would have been a great juice.
Dude, no. No, yes. He would have been a great Dodger.
He should have just had a cameo scene like when he was in TNA.
He should have been the TNMT guy. Hey, these guys are really ugly, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yo, what if he was the guy in the back of the fashion show?
Right.
Yo, these
yo, these kids are pretty creepy, right? It's Vanilla Ice. Could have been just perfect.
Ruins his hair.
Oh, wait, before we end.
Yes.
I wanted to give you guys a little gift. So
what is this?
I went ahead and I bought each of us an original pack of Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. Show the live people. Look at this.
I'm happy.
Garbage Pail Kids packs.
Awesome. That is bad. There's actually gum inside here too.
Are these original ones?
Yes.
Wow.
Like from back in the 80s?
Yes.
Breaks
100%.
How much do these cost?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
Congratulations. You have your first original pack of Garbage Pail Kids. I am.
Are we allowed to open it?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't buy these so that you guys could.
Which one did I get?
Just peek at them. You get 5.
Oh, I'm already in love.
What'd you get?
Fishy Phyllis.
I'm going to get 5 pieces of broken gum.
Oh, look at your gum. Oh, that's awful.
Bro, this gum looks like it came out of Turbo's hot tub. It's all brown and deformed. Dude, awesome. This gum has been in there.
Dude,
since.
Look at it. Look what it did to the back
look
of the
printer. Gum did to the back of the card.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did you eat it?
No, it's not bad.
Bro, that's literally gum from the 80s.
Yeah, I didn't make it in my pack. But Fishy Phyllis, dude. Yes.
Oh!
What'd you get?
I remember this one.
Oh, look at that.
King size.
Snotty Sam.
Oh, I remember
that
one.
Which one you get?
Juicy Jessica. Juicy and Target Jessica. Margaret.
Nice.
This is Darren. I remember that one. Blake Flake.
Nice.
And Bustin' Dustin.
The wrestler kid.
I also remember this. Some of them had their wanted on the back, and other ones made the...
made a bigger picture.
Yeah, they made a big picture if you had all the pieces.
Bro, you're the man.
I got Snotty Sam, Las Vegas, Large Marge, Marvin Gardens, and Fishy Phyllis.
Wow.
You get Fishy Phyllis, too?
I got Fishy Phyllis, Beth Death, King Size Kevin, Croakin' Colin, and Joe Blow.
Oh, funny story.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So Topps Gum put out, can't think of their names right now.
Bazooka Joe?
Yes, Bazooka Joe Gum.
No, I don't want that. Get that away from me.
So that's why they did that. They spoof their own people.
That's awesome.
That is cool.
Well, I'm going to make a separate video for us on the Facebook page.
Open
so if you are, or if you have not yet, follow us on Facebook so you can see us open this pack of Garbage Pail Kids. We're at facebook.com/badmoviesrule. And also tell a friend about the podcast, guys. We're trying to grow. So word of mouth is the best way to spread the word about the podcast. So tell a friend about Bad Movies Rule. And make their day, because what's better than listening to us talk about trash movies like this for an hour? We love having you here. Thank you guys for coming. We're going to wrap things up. We've been talking about Garbage Pail Kids, but next week we're going to talk about a much, much better movie, although one that I feel is vastly underappreciated, which is why we're going to talk about it. Fifth Element is coming up next week, so make sure you're here for that. In the meantime, go watch the Garbage Pail Kids if you can find it. That sound that you made was like the sound of my heart when I watched this movie.
I apologize.
No, hey, it's all good.
You know what? When chicks is chicks, I know my chicks.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.